It's unusual in, when recounting the Christmas story to include the two characters that I end the book with. I don't know if I've ever seen anywhere that these two guys, a guy and a gal, are included in the Christmas story, but they're an integral part of it when you get right down to it. Everybody knows a character. Somebody that's just a character. If you know me, you know a character, okay? But if I know you, I probably know a character too, all right? The world is made up of characters. And that diversity and that uniqueness, I think, is what blends us together, kind of like the soup that we had last night at home, wasn't it? You've got all these different characters in there, into the soup. And that's what makes things fun when you allow it to happen that way. The two people that we're talking about this morning are characters. No way around it. Not many people would know them. If you went on the street, if you stopped people outside of the Methodist Church, we'll pick on the Methodists. If you stopped people outside of the Methodist Church this morning, I'll bet you that there wouldn't be 2 out of 10 that would know who these two characters are. But they were unique in that they were waiting on something. They were looking for something. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Like your polka dots.
Snowballs.
Lori and I match.
Snowballs.
We match. Oh, snowballs. Okay. They were waiting and anticipating the Christ child. Even though they didn't know what he would look like, they didn't know what age he would be. You talk about looking for a needle in a haystack. They were looking for a needle in a haystack. I'll know him when I see him, would have been their thought. Both of them spent nearly all of their time, if not all of their time, in the temple. It's a metropolitan kind of thing. You would have seen all the characters from everywhere because everybody from anywhere that was Jewish came to the temple. And there were livestock auctions going on around there. There was money changers. We see that later in the story of Jesus. All of this, and then the closer you get to the center part, is when you kind of separate the boys from the men and you get the people that are serious about what's going on. They went, Mary and Joseph went to do what was supposed to be done. They were taking him to the temple for circumcision. That's what was done. That's what the Jewish children went through, Jewish boys went through after 3 days. They were there. It was totally different from Nazareth where they lived. It was totally different from Bethlehem where he was born. It's now metropolitan. And these two are looking. The first of the characters that see him is our man. In that, he goes, he didn't ask Mary, he didn't ask permission, he just went and picked up Jesus. And she let him. I imagine that she was startled. And a complete stranger picking up my child. When our first and only granddaughter was born, Savannah Grace, her mother, Miranda, was so possessive of her that nobody could touch her. Nobody could hold her. Nobody could pick her up. And I'd come in the room and I'd just scoop her up. And Emily, our daughter, asked me later, Dad, how do you get to do that? Nobody else can hold her. Nobody else can do anything with anybody. And then here it comes. You just go in and scoop her up. And I said, sometimes it's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. So he goes in and he picks up the child and he starts to talk. Let's pick up the story in Scripture. We got one more book, sweetie. Here you go. Turn to page 55. This is from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 38, on page 55. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Child's father and mother marveled at all that was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. This was also a prophetess. There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The poem is from her perspective. Listen. This is Anna. Crazy old people. That's what everybody thought we were. Looking for what no one else could see, listening for what no one else could hear, he came daily, and I spent all my time in the temple anticipating a Savior. And then he appeared. Somehow I expected a king, but instead I found a baby. Simeon discovered him first. By the time I came along, Simeon had already delivered the good and bad news to parents. Light and glory, the baby would be, but a sword would pierce your own soul also. I took the baby from Simeon before stunned parents could complain. Hope, redemption, I declared he would be to anyone who would believe, and I gave thanks to God. I guess these two crazy old people can die in peace. What we have been longing for has now been delivered. Come on, Simeon, let's go home. What would it be like if we spent time in anticipation of his second coming with the intensity that these two did his first? Not knowing exactly what to look for, not knowing exactly what it would look like, but you stayed prepared. Somehow, some way, there had been, I'm sure, a rehearsal of what they were going to say when we find him. They talked. Come in.
Sorry, I'm late.
Or you're early, depending. You can stay out here if you want. Okay. Anyway,
I want to sit down. We're in a small group. We can do this.
I can imagine conversation that they might have had with each other. Well, when I see him, I'm going to say so-and-so. Well, I've been thinking about it, and from a mother's perspective, I want to say so-and-so. And then Simeon would say, but you don't know what he's going to look like. And she would say, but you don't either. And that's okay. We find ourselves 2,000 plus years later in a similar situation. I don't think any of us will doubt that Christ is coming again. But we don't. Read all the prognosticators that you want to and anyone else who wants to raise books and all this kind of stuff. They don't know exactly what he's going to look like either. But we still look. And we don't stop with that. The pronouncements that were made that day are two-pronged. One is the positive and one is the negative, if you look at it that way. The positive is that Jesus will be light, glory, and hope. How many people do we run into that have lost hope? Whether it's folks facing things like your neighbors, that'll sap the hope out of you in a hurry. Whether it's people that just don't have any hope because they don't know the one who is hope. That'll sap the hope out of you in a minute, too. Age will do that, too. Can I get an amen on that? Church I was serving in Wilmington had a dear couple that he was one of the founders of the church. Church was founded in 1926, and he was one of the founders. He had died a couple of years before I got there. His widow remained, and she was now getting down to the last nub of anything. And I went to visit her, as I tried to do often. She took my hand, and she said, "Preacher, I want to tell you something just in case you need to know." "Yes, ma'am, what's that?" "Getting old ain't for sissies." She said, "But I'm done. I'm ready." She missed her husband. She died a week later. She was hopeless, but not without hope. Does that make sense? She had grown hopeless, but she was hopeful of what would come. So these two, and if you notice with Anna, she makes her declaration not so much privately, but publicly. The scripture in Luke says that she told everybody that was around them. There may have been other people looking too, but we know these two were specific about it. They're looking, and she makes the pronouncement.
He's here.
He's here. Wow. The others that surrounded them must have said, "Well, we didn't know we had a celebrity in our midst." And Mary and Joseph are thinking, "We didn't know he was a celebrity in our midst. Come in. You can walk through. We've got electricity now, and we're all happy." The point, I think, that I try to make in this last chapter, well, let me read the last part. If you go over to page 61, it really puts a capstone on what I was trying to say the whole time. The last paragraph down there. Sometimes the juxtaposition of the manger baby and the cross gets hidden in the contemporary celebrations of the season. We must remind ourselves that in the darkness of this world, the baby represents light. In the mundane existence of our day-to-day lives, Jesus represents glory to us. In the hopelessness of man's predicament, the manger baby presents hope. If life finds you today in a dark, mundane, and hopeless place, consider asking the manger Savior, come in, to come into your life and rearrange the parts of your life for His glory. If you know this child, Jesus, intimately, if simply Jesus is your Savior, tell someone else about Him. One of the things that I plan to do as a liturgist this morning, I guess I still am, is to point out the fact that for a lot of people, probably more than we realize, Christmas is not a happy time. You may have lost loved ones this year. They may have gone through health trials and tribulations, other ways that it's just made for a tough year. Last night at 7:30 was our first anniversary of the tree falling on our house a year ago. 20th of December, she wasn't sure exactly, between 7:15, 7:30, right through there. Our year was shifted in a second. And we spent most of the year fighting contractors and roofs and anything else that can come up. The joy of that is that we're on the other side. We're on the other side. Lots of people are still in the middle of the mess with that. I want to read with you the last, what do I call it? The last word. I don't often get the last word. But I did it this one.
We have a church in here.
I'm going to move my chair to the side so I can watch Lori as I say things. What I'm trying to do, Lori, is watch their reaction to something I say back here.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting that way. I love her. I do. If I ever seem like I don't, you remind me. Because I do. It seems that the more years that go by, the more I like things simple. Simple meals, quiet fellowship, an uncluttered life, and calm conversations with the Savior all combine to help bring about the peace we all seek and a contentment that, generally speaking, the world cannot give. Life is not simple. We can work with the pieces of our lives to help bring order out of chaos and a restful place beside still waters. As I look back on the journey of putting these Simply Jesus thoughts on paper, it occurs to me that this might have been exactly what I was seeking. Finding again the simple story of Christmas within the complex, multi-layered narrative that the world has created. By combining pagan ritual with major league commercialism, the world has sometimes created a monster out of a manger. We have allowed Santa, to replace the Savior, cleaned up the shepherds, sterilized the stable, and sanitized the story. I was mad with the world for what it had done to our story. Perhaps my anger was displaced. When we allow the world to dictate how we remember the story, celebrate the Savior, and place those lessons learned into practice, we have all lost. We have lost the opportunity to be authentic. We have lost the wonder of the manger baby, and we have diminished our ability to allow our journey to be altered. The world is not at fault. We are. Along with Pogo, the cartoon character. Anybody remember Pogo?
Yes.
From many years ago, we can say, we have met the enemy, and he is us. The world may set the stage, but we decide whether or not we will be a player. It is my prayer that this small Simply Jesus book will provide each of us with the tools to say no to another Christmas as usual. I hope these words cause us to think, not just at the Christmas season, but all year long, about where we are headed, how are we getting there, and if this is the right direction. I pray that the manger baby will once again become the moving force behind our simple celebration, rather than just one more piece of a fancy nativity. I pray we will slow down long enough to be impacted by the simple and powerful story that literally changed the world. It happened once. It can happen again. Thank you for reading and pondering with me. If this little book has altered your journey, even just a little bit, it's been worth all the effort. May your manger baby bring peace and joy to you and yours throughout the year. I hope it's done that. I hope that this year you've stopped and pondered. I want to ask you, in all the celebrations that you might have with family or gatherings at one time or another, would you be bold enough to ask the family if you could read the Christmas story to them? It's kind of bold. You all remember every year now on television they show the Charlie Brown Christmas. You've seen that. Do you know it almost didn't make it on television? Charles Schulz had it all worked out, had it all planned, had it all written, and the execs, the suits at the network said, you got to leave out the reading of Scripture. You can't put that in. He said, then we will not have a Charlie Brown Christmas. If I can't include that, that's the essence of Christmas, then we will not have Charlie Brown. And they reneged and went back and said, okay. And to this day, when you have the chance to see a Charlie Brown Christmas, you will hear the Lucan story read by one of the greatest characters in Charlie Brown's story to remind them, after all is said and done, what the true meaning. Maybe if we can get with family somehow, whether they're believers or not, and if they'll just indulge you, most of us will be the senior person at those meetings, and they ought to cut us some slack and let us read the story. And then we can read the true story of Christmas. It may seem as if it has no impact, But I guarantee you that for the children and for the adults and the people that don't even know the story, it will impact them for years. Will you remember the Christmas that Grandma read, the Luke story? May the manger baby be our focus this Christmas. Any questions you got? Comments, rocks to throw, flowers to give about Anna and Simeon or about the whole story?
A marvelous contribution to the
season. Yes, yes, it is.
Thank you, Larry, for making it possible. For making it possible.
Thank you.
It's been fun. But I'm looking forward to getting back to every third person teaching.
I love on the way you note. Write.
Thank you.
It's so readable and so poignant at the same time.
When I was interviewing for my first pastor, I was an associate pastor at Roanoke, and I interviewed with a church that I really wanted. I mean, I wanted any church. I wanted to move to a pastor. And after an interview with them, they heard me preach. They said that the chairman of the committee came to me. He said, "You know, we're liking everything we see." I was 29. "We're liking everything we see and all that we're hearing." He said, "But I'm afraid for me that you're just too simple. Your messages are so we'd like to hear you one more time." So another church in Roanoke allowed me to come on a Sunday night and preach, and the church I was being paid by got nothing out of me that week. I just poured over this stuff, and I mean, it was deep. It was about this deep. And so I'm greeting people as the committee and others are going out the door at the end of this Sunday night service. And I leaned over to the chairman of the committee and I said, "Was that deep enough?" He said, "Oh, yeah."
Oh, yeah.
Later, when I got ready to leave that church, I pulled him aside and I said, "You remember?" And I told him the story. He said, "Yeah, I do." And I said, "That was so deep that I didn't know what I was talking about." I've always been simple at putting the message out because I think that's the way that we get more of what we're doing. But thank you for that. That means a lot to me. Anyone else?
Steve,
I think
we had the communion and you were up in the
fellowship of the Holy Spirit,
and
clearly guides
you did the thing on the communion, but it took the whole service. Anybody remember when you did that?
Love,
but you're right, it was simple, but it was just so perfect.
And forevermore.
Thank you. I'm going to be leading communion again Christmas Eve.
You don't have to do it as long now. No, it was.
That thing's off now, isn't it? Thank you.
But you had a way of just putting the meaning out there for everybody to reflect again.
And the reflection for Christmas Eve communion for me is the merging of the manger baby and Christ on the cross. And I think it's the perfect time to do that. And that's where my focus will be on Christmas Eve.
And
thank
I
you
love
for that.
The way that you talk about forgiveness, because forgiveness is so important for community.
Yep. And it's we often spiritual. Leave that out. Yeah. We often leave that out. Thank you.
The other story on Dave about the preacher, they say he went so deep everybody wondered where he had gone.
I love it. The preacher has left the building. His body's still here, but he's left the building. That's great. Folks, you all are so dear to Lori and I thank you for that. And we look forward to the study of Hebrews in the coming year. And there will not be any Sunday school next week. Is that right?
Yes.
There will not be, even if the electricity's off. We'll let it go from that standpoint. They're coming back. Yes. You're here in time to pray.
Maybe cosmetics are getting
this. Well, folks, let's stand and let's have a closing prayer, and we will work our way up other places. Larry, would you lead us in our closing prayer today?
Heavenly Father, it's a marvelous season where we are in awe and anticipation of the birth of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for sending him here. Thank you, Lord, for Steve's series on anticipation and on the Advent season. Thank you, Lord, for the many gifts other than Jesus that you've also showered upon us. You have so richly blessed us. Help us to remember that you are the giver of all good things, and it's our relationship with you that is most important in our lives. Help us to be your representatives wherever we go. Watch over us, keep us safe, watch over those who are traveling, and help us to remember Christ in all that we do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all for being here.